there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Amen. You can take a seat. Hey, thanks, you guys. Isn't it great to just be able to worship God? Just to abandon your hearts to Him? Isn't that a privilege and an honor? Well, I pray that you all had a great Thanksgiving. You know, for us, this service was really intended to go vertical and really to spend some time with the Lord and just thank Him together as a family for His goodness, for His grace in each of our lives. And so I'm really grateful for that. You know, last week, Craig Miles was here, and Craig preached on generosity. He really kind of landed our All In series, and he was talking about generosity. And really, what stood out to me that I think is really important is this whole tension, processing this tension between scarcity and abundance. You know, the mindset of scarcity that Craig used was this closed hand that was gripping so tight that we were unable to take hold of what God wants to give us, versus this abundancy, this open-handed trust that what God has given us, He will continue to provide as we walk with Him and as we trust Him. And I believe that when we have abundant thinking, we are generous and thankful people, are we not? I'm thinking about what makes a Christian appealing. Like, what makes you and I appealing to someone that is perhaps lost, you know, the ones that we were praying for, that Shelly led us through? What makes us appealing? And I was thinking about the aroma of a Christian who is living a generous, selfless, thankful life. That is so different from the world that we live in, where everything is a take and a grab, is it not? You know, and God is just so good, and I think He gives us these pictures in His Word to help us along the way. One of them I want to talk about this morning for just a minute is King David. And I'm going to be preaching your notes, I believe, have the text in there, 1 Chronicles 29. But before we dive into that, I just want to talk for a second about David. Many of you, or some of you, know his story. I mean, we all know it at different levels. Encourage you, 1 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, gives you a lot of insight into his life. Some of you remember David being chased around by Saul after he had slayed Goliath. Saul became jealous, who was king of Israel at the time. And David was chased around and went through all kinds of challenges. He was ultimately anointed king, released into his kingship, and as Paul referenced, made some real poor mistakes. Literally made mistakes that cost thousands of lives. I mean, if you really read history and his story, you're like blown away at God's mercy. But I believe one of the reasons why David was a man after God's heart is because David forgave much. When you read scripture, you see that David offers this grace and this mercy to people that from our perspective would never ever deserve it. I mean, it's this forerunner picture of Jesus in the cross, really. So David, as many mistakes as he did and as many great decisions that he did, one of the things that marks his life is his graceful, merciful heart as a benevolent king. And I think another reason that's so important is when you look at David, you understand how hard he was on himself when he recognized his sin. I mean, he went hard after his sin and dropped to his knees and on his face to repent. He wasn't perfect, but he understood the consequences of sin and did his best to take ownership. So we have this picture of this king that's just amazing if you think about it, if you look in the mirror at your own life. I love the Bible because it's so real in giving us pictures into real people struggling with real problems. But right at the very end of David's life as king, David, he truly wanted to build God's temple. And the word talks about it. David literally is like giving all that he has. And this is a man that had abundance times a million. I mean, he was incredibly wealthy. And in 1 Chronicles 28, I just want to read this real quick. Verse 2, King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house of my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood.'" God goes on to say that God had purposed for David's son Solomon to build the temple. And so David goes through this elaborate administrative organizational leadership where he gets the whole nation prepared to build this temple for, and through his son Solomon. And this I want to read this to you. I love this text. I want you to listen to it. It's in your notes if you want to follow along. But this is 1 Chronicles 29, starting in verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatest and power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks and praise your glorious name." Listen to this in verse 14. "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you, O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son, Solomon, the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord and the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. Is that not just an amazing text? Every time I read it, it just rocks me. But we noticed that, first of all, the very first thing they did was they acknowledged that God was sovereign, that he was Lord, that he was eternal, that he was powerful, that he was almighty. He was strength. They acknowledged that. I mean, if you look at verse 10, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. It's so fascinating. That word praised right there in the Hebrew is this picture of David literally kneeling as the king of Israel before the entire assembly. He humbled himself under God, kneeling, and he praises God for who he is. It's powerful. I was thinking about Job, another fascinating character in the Bible, a real person. The very end of the book of Job, verse 42. After God essentially said to Job, sit down and take it like a man. Listen to what I have to say, and then you can respond. This is after God had basically laid the law down with Job. I am the one that has done this, this, and this. God demonstrating who he is. Job's response in 42:2, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. And here's what I would say. It is so important for us to know who God is, to have a right view of God as best we can, because it sets the foundation for all that we're here to do as followers of Christ. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, says, what comes into your minds when you think about God is the most important thing about us. Think about that for a minute. When you think about God, what comes to your mind is the most important thing about you as a Christian. Whew. Kind of flies in the face of our busy lives where we're asking God to follow us, doesn't it? But when we really know him, like David, we come before him and just adore him as Lord. It's powerful. The second thing, they acknowledged who owned everything. Listen to verse 12 of 1 Chronicles. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler over all things. In your hands are strength and power. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. You know, when we really understand who supplies everything that we need, it's liberating. It truly is liberating. I was really pondering that. I was just thinking about, how am I with this? How often do I acknowledge that everything that God has given me comes from him? I mean, intentionally lavished me and poured his love out of me and given so much. The third thing, they acknowledged who had given them what they had. I mean, listen to verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Notice that they had the ability to give, did they not? Because they gave much. They understood they could give because God had provided. You know, this is this whole thing that Craig was talking about. They did not have a scarcity mentality, but they had an abundant mindset, an abundant thinking. They knew where everything came from. They weren't gripping, they weren't squeezing it, they weren't holding it tight. You know, yesterday I had the chance to babysit my granddaughter. Got on the floor with her. It was a precious time. I'm not kidding you. I mean, that little girl, whew, she can melt your heart just like that. She's like 22 months, so she hasn't hit the terrible two stage yet. But she runs around and literally wants to give me everything. There's all this stuff on the floor, and she's just like, here, here, here. She's completely open-handed at 22 months. And I'm sitting there like, wow. I wish I could be like that. I mean, seriously. No, I know there's some rough water ahead, as we all have it. But think about that for a minute. Think about being open-handed. It's very, very liberating. They confessed that it was a privilege to be a part of what God was doing. Interesting. Listen to this, verse 16 through 18. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for the building, for building you a temple for your holy name, listen, comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I love this right here. Listen to this. Keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. Think about that. You know, the word privilege in essence means, I mean, that there's something like incredibly special. We have a special right. That's kind of what privilege means. And here they are before God wanting to build his temple. And they've got this transparent, humble heart, acknowledging that God has given them everything. I was thinking about, you know, the motives and even self-reflecting in my own heart, the motives of intent that I have in my life relating to living generously. Here's a question I want to ask you guys. Do you feel privileged? I mean, literally, that there is something special that you are privileged to be a part of. Do you feel privileged that God is moving and doing amazing things in our midst here in a year's time? Do you feel privileged? I was reflecting on that. It's like, you know, you get through this, you're running and you got a fast pace and we got to do and do all this stuff. But have you stopped and gone, wow, this is a privilege. This is something special. Isn't it cool what God is doing? Can I get an amen there? They had an eternal perspective. They had an eternal perspective. The word perspective is, it really means like a particular point of view. If you're a hunter and you're looking through your optics and you're with a hunting buddy, you're like, oh, there's a nice elk over there. This is Corey talking. Oh, there's a nice elk over there. I can't see. Show me where. So he's got a particular perspective. And I think for all of us, whatever that is in our lives, God wants us to have a very particular perspective. Theirs was eternally based. Listen to what they said in verse 15. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight. As were our ancestors, our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. And essentially what they're saying is we're foreigners. We're in a foreign land. And we really have no place to lay our heads. I was thinking about this when Christy and I were traveling in Europe this summer. In the back of my mind, the whole time, I was looking forward to coming home. Now, North Idaho is beautiful, but it's not the home that God has put into my heart. They knew. They had perspective that there was something in eternity that God had promised them. And so they gave out of abundance because they had this trust that God was in control, that he supplied them everything, and he literally gave them the ability to give freely from their hearts with a humble intent. And as a result of that, they had great perspective. Listen to Hebrews 11. It's the great chapter on faith in the Bible. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. all of these people, in other words, the faithful people that had gone before, okay? All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Do you get that? That God has placed eternity in our hearts, that we have a country, a future, a promise that is set apart for each and every one of us? Yeah, amen to that. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he was prepared. He had prepared a city for them. It's amazing, isn't it? Here's the deal. God has saved each and every one of us that are believers in here for a very specific purpose. We weren't saved to be comfortable. We were saved to go into all the world, bring glory to God by sharing our lives, the sweet aroma of our lives with others, that people would come to God, broken, yes, forgiven, yes, restored, yes. God has given us great purpose. And for each and every one of us here, he wants to spend our lives for his glory. And you might be going, whoa, spend my life? That's what he wants. Here's the deal, though. We have sung about how good God is. And God wants what is very best for each and every one of us. And as we follow him, and as we yield to him, and as we surrender to him, and give freely, trusting him, he pours out to us what is his best. Sometimes it looks different than what we think. Often it looks different than what we think. But God is good, is he not? Amen. Is God not good? Is he not? Boy, I tell you what Santa read there, does that just pierce your heart? Oof. You know, many of you have made commitments, and this is between you and God. It's not for the appraisal of man. But I'm going to share, just in our church, all three campuses wide, the responses so far. I want to share a few of these because I hope it encourages you as we stand, as we come before the Lord and really surrender our lives, giving him our time, our resources, all that we have. We had 23 people want to be baptized, that have committed to be baptized. Isn't that powerful? Right there. We had 97 people that said, hey, I want to be a member. I want to lean in. I want to check it out. I want to commit. 97 that want to become members. 88, I want to join life groups. 103, I want to serve. What a privilege we have to do that. Amen. 406 said they're taking some sort of financial step forward, trusting God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good? I know the liberty that comes from that. It's not always easy, but it is so freeing. 18 people that have said, I want to give for the very first time. I'm going to step out and trust. Isn't that amazing? I want to speak and pray a blessing over you guys. You guys are a very generous people. You guys have done amazing things here in this last year. And I'm so proud of you. And I know that God is. I know that. It is a privilege that we have to honor God together corporately with our lives. You know, I was thinking, sometimes we were watching sports figures or interviews, and someone will give praise to God, and we're like, yeah, that's so cool. That person did it over a microphone or Tim Tebow or whatever, you know? But here's what I would say. It's equally as important and as a privilege to look around the room at each other, knowing that you guys are honoring God And what you're doing is just as important as someone who has a microphone. I know God's proud of you. Would you bow your heads with me? I just want to pray. God, would you pour your blessings out on each person in this room? God, as they do life with you, commit things to you, surrender to you, Lord, would you let them know how much you love them and how proud you are of them? Lord, for those in here that are really struggling, God, I ask that you would give them what they need. You would pour out a blessing to them, that you would reveal just how intimate and loving and kind and merciful you are. God, I pray for us as a body that you would unify us. Lord, that we would keep our eyes on the prize, focused on you. Lord, that we would come before you with our arms high and open for the one that we love. God, would you let everyone in here know just how much you love them today? Give each person something very special that they would know beyond all measure that you love them and that you're blessing them and that you're with them. God, we thank you that you love us, that you've poured your grace and your mercy out on us. Lord, we love you, God. We just offer this day to you in worship. And all God's people said, amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.